in Baba Russ's prayer, he mentioned that we are a weak people, which is true. We are weak. We need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a weak people. How can we be a strong people? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We continue on our study in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. And this morning we read from verse 16 to verse 18. The title of the message, Fasting, to do or not to do. Fasting, to do or not to do. I will read from the ESV as normal, and it reads as following. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. May He write His eternal truth upon our hearts. Let us bow together in prayer. Siyakudumisa Thixo, siyavuma ukuba uThixo. Siyavuma sizoni phambi kwakho, akekho omunye ongasithethelela, ongasihlanza ngaphandle kwakho. Siyavuma Nkosi, sibuthakathaka enyameni, siyawadinga amandla wakho. Manje ekuseni sithi bayede Nkosi, wena owafa wafela izono zethu, wena wavuka wanyukela ezulwini ukuba nathi sibe ngilabo abathetheleleyo. Kwangenye ilanga Nkosi yethu nathi sinyukele ezulwini lakho. Siyaguqa phambi kwakho namanje ekuseni singabantwana bakho, siyasondela Nkosi sithi bayede, vula amehlo wethu kamoya, vula izindlebe Nkosi silizwe izwi lakho. Sithobise ezinhliziyweni zethu, sithobise Nkulunkulu nasemicondweni ukuba Nkosi yami sililalele izwi lakho elivela ealtarini yakho. Namanje ekuseni sithi uNkulunkulu akekho omunye ofana nawe. We will lift you up, O God, for as long as we live. We pray that then you may add unto us day by day power through faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be able to stand the test of time. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from all evil. We ask this morning that may empower us through your word, through your spirit, O God, that we may live for you and leave a mark for those who come after us, that we may be that shining light even here in this place of Olivet, that we may be that beam, Heavenly Father, that shines so bright that people may see your glory and call upon the name of your Son and be saved. Be with us this morning, we ask. In Jesus' name, we all say amen.
Amen.
Friends, I believe that there are things that should be on your to-do list. As a Christian, as a believer, you must have a to-do list. One of those things, or some of those things, will be you should be a prayerful person. You should read and study your Bible. You should have a devotion time for God. You should worship God. You should worship God in song. You should worship God in giving. You should worship God in whatever that you do. That is something that should be on your to-do list. The question then is, should fasting be on your to-do list? Is it relevant to us, or it is now outdated, which is why we don't talk about it? I am so glad that we are doing a study in the Gospel where we go verse by verse, and then we're going down through to the end, and now we are coming here in the subject of fasting, because I don't think I would have preached about fasting this year. It was never in my mind, but here it is before us. Is it relevant to us? is it supposed to be on our list, that to-do list, for us to grow before God, for us to have that joy in the Lord, the joy that is unmeasurable, a joy that is unequaled. Friends, we all know that we live in a time whereby the devil has stolen the pulpit from many churches. He has stolen prayer and fasting as well. He has stolen that passion and dedication to seek the face of God. We have become more of a fast food people rather than a fasting people. That is what we are. That is who we are. And of course, the moment you touch on the subject of fasting, you will have men who will go the extra mile to argue that we should not fast. Why? Because the New Testament does not command the believers to fast. I've heard men saying those things. And actually, I do believe that the New Testament does not command us to fast. The question is, since it is not commanded, is it forbidden? If then it is not commanded and not forbidden as well, what should be the attitude of the church? What should be the guiding principle for us as we come to this subject of fasting? From verse 9 to verse 15, Jesus emphasized the importance of prayer and the attitude which should accompany prayer. And in that context, we see Jesus turning around now, turned his attention to his disciples and showed them that prayer is connected to fasting. We are still in the context of prayer here. There is a connection, a link between prayer and fasting, which is why the Lord Jesus Christ deals with the issue of fasting now. He's showing them that if prayer is a cry unto God, then it should not only be a cry in words, but it should also be a cry in a form of a spiritual exercise which has to do with abstaining from food. Therefore, if we are those who are born of God, if we are those who are born from above, if we are the children of God, if we are those belonging to God through adoption as sons and daughters of God, if we are those belonging to God through faith and repentance, we must be serious about prayer. We must be serious about our intimacy with God, coming to God, knowing God, and knowing more. We need to be constantly reminded that indeed God dwells in an unapproachable light, yet He welcomes sinners as I to come before His throne of grace. Therefore then, once we understand that, we will not act like we are fine. We will not act like there is a chasm or a divider between us and God that is keeping us away from reaching God. A chasm that is keeping us away or discouraging us to desire to commune with God. We should not act like there is something standing between us and God, which is why we don't come to God. So, it should be your desire as a Christian to see the revealed glory of God. If you desire to see the revealed glory of God, we will continue to ask the Lord, we will continue to cry to Him, Lord, show me your glory. As Moses did ask the Lord to show him his glory. You will cry as a Christian, Lord, show me your glory. And one of the ways in which the Lord will hear us when you say, Lord, show me your glory. One of the ways that proves your authentic desire, your genuine, your true desire to see the glory of God, it is through prayer and fasting. And this morning, I want to show you the significance of this. The first thing I want us to look at from this text that is standing before us is Jesus' assumption on prayer. Jesus' presupposition on prayer. His assumption. What is he expecting from his Christian? Since we said it's not a command. So Jesus is assuming that the Christian will be doing something in regard to this subject. We read verse 16 and 17. It says, when you fast, Do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. There are two things I want you to see from these two verses, verse 16 and verse 17. I want you to see, it's actually one thing, but it's repeated twice. Is the phrase, when you fast. You see that phrase in verse 16. You also see that phrase in verse 17. It says, when you fast. Please take note. It doesn't say, if you fast. If it says, if you fast, it gives you a choice to fast. But when it says, when you fast, it's an assumption that you will fast. So Jesus is assuming that the believer will fast. When you fast. So friends, I personally believe, I am convinced that every true Christian who is sincere and is deeply touched or affected by his own sin in this world or his own weakness in this journey of Christianity, that particular Christian will take it upon himself or herself to seek the Lord in prayer and fasting. We have already seen in verses 1 to 8 that we are not supposed to be anything like the Pharisees. The Pharisees who practice their righteousness before others so that they may be seen. We should not be like the Pharisees who sound a trumpet before they help the needy. We should not be like the Pharisees who stand in the street corners that they may pray there, that the whole world will see and give them an applause. That they will be appreciated by the world. That they may be seen by the world that they are a religious people. Jesus says we should not be like them. But how are we supposed to be? Jesus says we should go to our secret corner, in our secret place, and call upon a God who sees in secret. And that very same God who sees in secret will reward us. So what are we learning here? We're learning that the very same expectation or the attitude that we should have towards prayer as we read about it from verses 5 till verse 15. The same attitude we should have when it comes to fasting. We should hold fasting in a very high esteem. We should hold fasting to be a very important thing in our own lives. Just as we do hold prayer to be important. But of course, there is a difference. The difference is we pray on daily basis. But I don't think it is possible to fast on daily basis. I don't even think God expects us to fast on daily basis. That's why he says, when you fast. The point here is, we should hold this in an equal balance, as it were. Prayer and fasting should be equally important to us as a church. We should come to God and seek His face. In verse 16, it becomes clear, friends, that Jesus indeed did not abolish fasting just because the hypocrites out there ridicule fasting through their pretense. Jesus Christ did not see it right to say then, since the people are doing it wrong, rather you Christians don't do it. But what we see here is that Jesus' aim is to properly regulate fasting, to put it right before his people. So according to Jesus, since his disciples will be a kingdom-minded people, there will come a time when they will fast. There will come a time where they will discipline their bodies for the kingdom of God. There will come a time when they will show a spiritual grief of the soul. A grief so absorbing as to destroy natural appetite. The natural appetite of the body. Jesus assumes that there will come a time for us where we will see our need to draw near to him. Not only in prayer, not only as we come here to sit and listen to his word, but also to even take one step further and abstain from food for the glory of God. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Let's read together verse 15 there. Matthew chapter 9. Let's hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says there. He's answering the Pharisees, the critics of the time. He's answering the religious men of the time who seems to claim that something is wrong in the way in which Jesus Christ is leading his disciples. So he's answering these critiques in verse number 15, and he says, the Bible says there, and Jesus said to them, can the wedding guest mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? That is the question. Then he says to them, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast. So the question, will the believers fast or not? Read here. The day will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, when they will not see him with their physical eyes, where they will long that he was with them, but he will not be them physically. Then they will fast. I've heard many preachers, good men, saying fasting is just a choice. I was talking to Baba Raz this morning saying, I also even heard our favorite Dr. John MacArthur saying, fasting is a choice, just a choice. But of course, in his study guide, he's saying it differently, and I'm happy for that. But we have this idea that fasting is a choice. And I think there is truth in that, friends. But we cannot emphasize on the choice more than emphasizing on the fact that Jesus expects it. We cannot teach the Christian that it's just a choice. Yes, it's a choice, but Jesus is expecting it. And yes, I did mention that fasting is not commanded in the scripture. Fasting was only commanded in the Day of Atonement, that is in the Old Testament, whereby the children of Israel were commanded by God, a command that on that day they should fast. And now we are not commanded to fast. But I'm saying Jesus is expecting. He's expecting us to go as far as to show our desire for change. If you want to see change, you will go as far as fasting. He wants to see, if you want to see God's hand in our lives, we will go as far as fasting. That is Jesus' assumption. That is Jesus' presupposition for us as a church. That we may seek the hand of God. The hand of God that is not shortened to save. That we may seek the ear of the Lord, that is not dull to hear. That we may come to Him and tell Him of those sins that is hindering us to come to Him. So church, throughout the Bible, it is clear that fasting is all about seeking the face of God. Fasting is about humbling yourself to commune with God, to plead with God, to act on your needs. It is about mourning before God, not only for your needs, but also for the forgiveness of your own sin. So during fasting, you pray and you wait on God to reveal Himself to you. And I can tell you, friends, if fasting was irrelevant, Jesus would not have fasted. But Jesus Himself fasted. He fasted, and then God empowered Him for the ministry that was ahead of Him. So if we need power for the ministry, if you want to see the gospel reaching the multitude of Olivet, we'll put it upon ourselves, yes, to pray, yes, to read the word of God, yes, to be strong in the Lord, but also that we may fast. Fasting was not irrelevant to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why, friends, I still say, I am convinced that any serious Christian will fast. Either to humble himself before God or show that dependence and trust upon God, to show his own helplessness before the Lord, or seeking wisdom for the work of the ministry, or seeking personal empowerment for spiritual growth. Your personal spiritual growth depends on you disciplining your own body for the glory of Christ. Turn to Acts chapter number 13, verse 2. There we see clearly that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ should fast and wait on God to direct them as the church. Friends, God forbid that we may be a church that is prayerless, a church that cannot fast. God forbid. That may be people personally that you do not take it serious to seek the face of the Lord. It says there in Acts 13 verse 2, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You can see, dear friends, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ did fast. So church, we should fast, because fasting has always had its place in the life of the church. If you look into the history of the church, even in the time of Reformation, one day you will learn what Reformation is. Just put it in your mind that there was a time of Reformation. If you look at the time of Reformation and you look at the time of the Puritans, prayer and fasting played a very important, a vital role in those men's lives. They changed how people looked at the church. They changed how people confronted the word of God through their prayer and fasting, dedicated themselves to the ministry of fasting. So, if we want to hear more of the word of God preached before us, if we want to hear God speaking to us as a church, we must discipline our body. Our body must be sensitive to the word of God. Our body must be sensitive to what comes from the altar to our ears for our spiritual growth as a people of God. And that can only come if we dedicate ourselves or immerse ourselves, as it were, in the presence of the Almighty God. So fasting needs to have a place in the life of the church. The Bible says, in the time of national distress, the people of God called upon God in fasting and prayer. When his child was sick, David fasted. Do you remember that? David took a fast when his child was sick. Can you see the importance, the relevancy of this discipline in the church even today? Unless we do not have sick people anymore. When seeking God's forgiveness for the sins of his people and his own personal sin, Daniel fasted. When seeking protection from his enemies, Ezra fasted. Jesus Christ himself fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord empowered him for the ministry. From there, the Bible says, he went through all Galilee preaching, not only preaching, but also healing the sick. We have done that. But it came whereby he had to face what was before him, and that God had to empower him for the ministry. And church, the New Testament church itself fasted in many different occasions, as I showed you in chapter number 13, verse 12. They fasted in many different occasions, seeking the face of the Lord, especially at the beginning of any church plant. They will come together and pray in fasting before God. So we see that in our text here, it is clear that Jesus assumed that we as Christians will fast. We're not only going to fast just because we have needs, but we must also fast to show a deep longing for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must show that deep longing for the kingdom of God to come. Remember the prayer that we studied last time? Your kingdom come. The only way his kingdom come, the only way people can be saved, is for us to preach the gospel indeed. But the gospel must come in power of the Holy Spirit. We as a people, we must discipline our own bodies also, that the Lord may use us as we preach his gospel. So you want to tell me that all the saints of the Old Testament, they were commanded before they fasted? No, friends, they were not commanded. But they did put it upon themselves to seek the Lord when he may still be found, to call upon him while he's still near. Did they waste their time? No. Is it a waste of time for us today? No. Is it irrelevant? No. Is it outdated? No, it is not outdated. It is something that the Lord Jesus Christ assumed that we will do as we come together as a church. Because I believe it will be pleasing to God to see His church concerned about the sin around them, whereby they will humble themselves together before God. Come together with a humble heart before God and a contrite heart. Seeking God's mercy, seeking God's favor, crying to God, saying, Lord, we have sinned, we have transgressed your law, have mercy on us, look upon us with grace and save our land. That should be us crying to the Lord. The question is, will the Lord not hear us? Indeed, He will. He has promised that He will hear us, and He will forgive our sins and heal our land. If we will just humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn around, turning from our wicked ways. He has promised, friends, that in our humble adoration before Him, His eyes will be open, His ears will be attentive to the prayers made by His people. God's ear will be attentive to the prayers that we make. His eyes will be open to everything that we say in His house. So fasting, friends, maybe not popular today, but I can tell you it is something that the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ continued to do. Let's read one more text. Acts 14, verse 23. Listen what it says there about Barnabas and the apostle Paul. Acts 14, verse 23. If you have it, it says, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and what? And fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they believed. The apostle Paul, Barnabas and the church, they fasted before they did anything in the house of the Lord. Especially here, after appointing, you can see they wanted to appoint leaders. They wanted to hear God's voice. They wanted to see what God, who is it that God is pointing for them to bring to the church as a leader. So friends, if the needs that we have learned about 2 weeks ago, our daily needs, our daily provision, our daily bread, if that need is really important, we would indeed see it fit to come before God in prayer and in fasting. If that need is really important, we will do so. If it is important for us to see the name of the Lord honored, to see His kingdom come in this world, to see His will done here on earth as it is in heaven, we will take it upon ourselves to come before Him. If we want to see salvation reigning in the lives of our loved ones, we will come before God and in fasting. So, do we see here, what is Jesus' assumption? Does Jesus assume that we will treat fasting as a choice, or does he assume that we will practice what the church practiced throughout the ages? On the second place, I want us to look at Jesus' warning on fasting. We'll see that again in verse 16 and 17. Since Jesus assumed that we will fast, then he tells us how not to fast. Jesus' warning on fasting. Verse 16 to 17. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Jesus' warning on fasting is similar to that of praying. He says, when we fast, there should be no desire for human acclamation. There should be no desire to seek a reward from man. We should not desire to do things for self-glory like the Pharisees. Our fasting should be different from how the world does it. We must not be like the hypocrites. People who want to exalt themselves before others. People who are doing things which are religious practice so that they may have fame in the world. We must not do anything of our spiritual exercise to be seen by men. It must be for the glory of God. It must be driven by a deep hunger for God. That is why Jesus Christ says then, let your fasting be observed by God, not by men. When you fast, you must not appear like the world. You must appear as normal as possible. You must do things not to draw attention to you. That is what this verse says when he says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. He's not saying, friends, when we fast, when we decide to fast, we must come to the pastor or go to a prophet to have some oil that you will anoint yourself with so that your fasting may be seen by God. That is not this. That is heresy. That is devilish, whoever is teaching that. But friends, what is this saying? This is saying, look as normal as possible, especially in public. Look as normal as possible. So Jesus used the hypocrisy of the Pharisees as an example to remind us that we must be careful of bad influence. There is bad influence around. Because we might end up doing the right thing and doing it the wrong way. But when we fast, it should always be for the name of the Lord to be honored, the kingdom to come, as I was saying. But it also should be for our daily lives, our daily needs, our forgiveness of sin. It must also be for a plea for a future protection from temptation, as I mentioned 3 weeks ago. It must also be a plea to God to deliver us from evil, the present evil age, and the devil himself who is evil, and the evil around us, in our own homes, in our own hearts as well. Deliver us from evil, O God. And I think, friends, the problem with fasting today, to those who are doing it, they're only doing it when it comes to be concerning their physical needs. That's all. When it's me seeking for something, seeking God to intervene in my life, maybe I don't have a job, maybe I'm looking for something and I cannot find until God help, then I begin to take a fast. Friends, it should not only be in terms of that. If you want to see your family saved, if you want to see your children coming to the Lord, if you want to see your friends glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to see the Lord adding a multitude of people, even in this church, if you want to see my own preaching glorifying God and raising the dead, don't take that literal. But if you want to see powerful preaching coming from the altar of God, you will pray and you will fast. You will dedicate yourself to God because you want to see the Lord in control. You want to see the power of Jesus working in your life and in the life of the church. Why? Because we are powerless, as Barbara said. We are powerless outside the power of Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus. We need the power of Jesus in our own lives to influence the surrounding and the people around us. So the message is very simple, friends. We must not create in this warning of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not create an appearance that looks godly. We must not create a godly appearance while the inward is refusing to repent and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not measure our holiness in the standard of the people around us. We must look unto Jesus. Our holiness must measure into that perfect standard of Jesus Christ. Remember, friends, your external condition, how you look on the outside,
is not always a mirror of how you look on the inside. That is why it says here, they show gloomy faces. Your gloomy face does not always speak of your gloomy heart. The fact that you have a sad face doesn't mean that your heart also is sad when you are in prayer. Remember the gloomy face of Cain? Cain's gloomy face didn't speak of Cain's gloomy heart. It spoke of Cain's evil heart seeking to kill his own brother. That is why we must not wear a gloomy face, but we must have a gloomy heart. Do we have a gloomy heart? Do we have a saddened heart because of sin? Remember, there was a message that Baba Ras preached from the book of Peter. But one of the points that he mentioned, we must have this sad heart, a gloomy heart, that when we look into the world, we see a world perishing, not a world joyful, as they are joyful, lifting themselves up, jumping around, but we must see a world that is perishing. Why? Because joy outside Jesus is not joy at all. So even our gloomy face outside a gloomy heart is no sadness at all. Jesus is pleased with uprightness. We must have an upright heart and come to God. So do you see then, friends, that fasting also gives us an opportunity to test our own heart, to ask the question, do I desire God or do I desire man's applause? Is my goal to reach out and touch his garment, as it were, and be healed? Do I see God as a God who have a personal desire to have fellowship with me for my good, not his good? Because he's fine without me, but I'm not fine without him. Do I see God longing to reach out to me to have a fellowship? To have a fellowship with me. Because if that's the case, then I will fast. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. I will fast with my heart and my mind looking unto heaven. I will mourn for my sin. I will cry to God for mercy for my family and my friends. I will do that. Let me remind you of the people of Nineveh. One day you will know about the people of Nineveh. When the word of God confronted them, when the word of God confronted their sin, the Bible tells us in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5, let me read for you. Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says there, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The whole community who came to believe that God indeed is gracious, is Savior, they decided on themselves. They didn't wait for a command. They decided on themselves that God deserved their prayer and fasting. What do I mean by that? God deserving that? That they have seen from within their own hearts that they are evil before God. They are sinful men. They need to cry out for their sin. Lord, save us. Save us, O Jehovah, lest we perish. That's what they did. So, church, whether fasting is commanded or not, Jesus assumed that the Christian will fast. Just as he assumed, if you look at verse number 9 of chapter number 6, he assumed that we will pray. He says, when you pray. So in the same way, he assumed that we will fast. So we need to stop acting like we are fine. We need to stop acting like all is well, my friends. We need to stop acting like we do not have those needs which need intense prayer and fasting. We need to stop blaming the devil for stealing our stuff, while we have given him the power to steal our privilege to come before God, our privilege to commune with God. Stop blaming someone. Look upon yourself. Let us claim back what the devil has stolen from us. He has stolen this privilege from us by fooling us that we are fine when we are not fine. We need to claim our privilege to come before God, to come before the throne of grace above. But also as we come to Him, He says here, let us not come to Him like hypocrites. Let us come before God with sincerity of heart. Let us come before God with a deep longing for Him, because everything else then will follow. So fasting, friends, is necessary, but be warned of hypocrisy. In the third part, or thirdly, I want us to look at the disciples' reward for fasting. There is a reward for fasting. The disciples' reward for fasting. It says, verse number 18, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Friends, it is true that people are motivated by a reward. Is that not true, Lisedi? When you behave at home, your dad rewards you. If you become the one who behaved the best in that weekend, you get a reward. Am I right? Yes, rewards motivate people. My little daughter Noto receives rewards from the school that she's doing good. And from that day, she has been striving to get more rewards. Why? She is motivated that her work is noticed or recognized at school. And I think it is so with all of us. We need motivation. There must be a reward in what we do. And in this case, by God's grace, the blessed part of this is that the rewarding person is God Himself. What a motivation. God is rewarding. Jesus says, your Father will reward you. In verse 18, Jesus promised a reward to those who pray to God fervently and without hypocrisy. Those who pray in secret, those who will discipline their bodies for the glory of God. So the question is, my friends, if there is a reward then for fasting, why is fasting so overlooked in the life of the church? Is it because we love to spend time on ourselves rather than spending time with God? Is it because it is demanding too much? Is it demanding more than it demanded on the Lord Jesus Christ, who went and died for us after that? Is it demanding more than it demanded the New Testament church, who went on to pray and seek the face of God? Friends, what better reward can there be than a reward of having God? God being your reward. Having intimacy with God. Be surrounded by His glory. To have a privilege to mortify sin. To have a privilege to humiliate sin in your body. That is a privilege. That is your reward. And I'll explain that as I go through. Listen to Dr. John Piper. This is what the Piper says, and I quote, God sees fasting. God sees that we have a deep longing that is pulling us to fast. He sees that our heart is not seeking the ordinary pleasures of human admiration and applause. He sees that we are not acting out of strength to impress others with our discipline, but out of weakness to impress to God our need and our great longing that He would act. God sees our fasting that way. End quote. So church, there is a reward which is not like the payment, which is not like saying, well done, good and faithful servant in heaven. There is a reward. The reward is God Himself. The reward is a heavenly blessing which is able to fill you with joy and gladness. The reward is to have the Holy Spirit taking control of you. The reward is to have your eyes and your ears open unto the word of God. In other words, friends, if God will answer you or answer your prayers and your fasting by giving you whatever you needed physically, you will go further to seek the reward that is a blessed reward. You will go further to seek God Himself. You will hold whatever God gives to you. You will put it before your own eyes and say, what would God give more than this? Yes, He will give Himself. You look at it and say, how can this as well glorify God in this life? You will not receive anything for your own good and not ask the question, how does it glorify God? Do you know that anything that you have needs to glorify God? So after you have fasted and received, or prayed and received a reward from God, you ask yourself a question: what is God receiving from this, from myself, as He has given this to me? How is He getting glorified with what I've just received? Your reward, friends, will be God disclosing Himself to you. God will disclose Himself to you if you seek Him in prayer and fasting. And friends, if God will disclose Himself to you, if God will be your reward, then fasting without obedience and repentance cannot be pleasing to God, because God cannot and will not disclose Himself to an unrepentant heart and a disobedient child. He will not. If we have unrepentant hearts, God will not disclose Himself to us. Let me add on that reward as well. I said God will disclose Himself to you, but also God will grant you fellowship with Him. Listen to what John Calvin says, and I paraphrase. Calvin says, in prayer, think of yourself shut off in an inside room with God. End quote. I think that is also applicable to fasting, friends. You lock yourself with God. You are standing before His face, and God is standing before your own face. You are abstaining from food, but you are feasting on the Lord. Abstaining from food, but feasting on the Lord. That is what fasting is about. And God becomes your reward. He grants you fellowship with Him. And as far as this reward goes, I must also add that God will also grant you your desire of your heart according to His riches in glory, according to His will. He will grant you the desires of your heart. He will also grant you power and protection against sin and the evil of this world. So friends, it is obvious that although fasting is not commanded, but your attitude on that should determine whether you want God, you desire God, or you desire your own pleasure and delight. What do you desire? The pleasures of this world? Or do you desire God? Do you want to see your friends and family coming to the Lord? Or is it fine as long as you alone are a Christian? Friends, I said last time, let us not be afraid of asking God for our daily needs. Pray for whatever you need, as long as it's in accordance to His will. And I'm saying now, the reward for such prayer and fasting is that God will grant you those desires of your heart. Let me close like this, friends. You must seek intimacy with God. You must allow the Lord to deal with your pride and sin. You must desire spiritual food. You must desire to be empowered for the work of the gospel. You must desire that special intimacy, that special fellowship with God. You need to open your heart and claim back this vital spiritual discipline which it seems as though the devil has stolen from us. You need to fast for the glory of God, not for men's applause. Everything that you do, you must do for the glory of God. Even when you fast for personal need, you must also seek that divine reward, God Himself. The Bible says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. Seated at the right hand of God.
Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. You need to pray the Lord to reveal Himself and bless you with Himself. He must bless you with His presence more than He blesses you with tangible things. Remember when Jesus refused to eat, what did He say to His disciples? He says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." Let it be our will. Let it be our food also to do the will of God. The will of God is that we see the world worship God. Let's do the will of God by first seeking His will to be done through prayer and fasting. You need to fast to express your sorrow for sin. Fast to express a desire for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fast to express your personal devotion to the suffering of the cross, the suffering of Jesus Christ. Fast so that you see yourself attached and linked to the suffering of that cross where the Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God, was crucified for you. Will you not then crucify your own body that sin may not continue to reign in your mortal body? If Christ suffered in the cross, at the cross, what's stopping us from crucifying our own bodies for the glory of God, to humble ourselves and discipline our body for spiritual growth? You need to fast to express your desire to feast on God. You must have a desire for God, your desire to bring your body into submission to the will of God. So the question is, fasting, to do or not to do? You need to answer that yourself and be honest and be faithful. And if your answer is like mine, the question then is, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? When are we going to seek God's face for our personal growth? When are we going to seek that divine intimacy with our Heavenly Father once in a lifetime, and have our needs attended to? Fasting, to do or not to do? I conclude, fasting, to do. The Lord bless you. Babaras may pray for us.
We thank you, O Lord, for your words. We thank you, O Lord, to be reminded of the beauty of fasting, O Lord, as we crucify our bodies, O Lord, as we deprive ourselves of the food of this world, O Lord, so that we may be fed through this intimacy that we will have with you, O Lord. So may you help us as your children, O Lord. May we remember in the book of Ruth, O Lord, how when her nation was perishing, and she said, "How could we eat at a time like this, O Lord?" May we open our eyes and see, O Lord, the devastation around us, how people are perishing without the knowledge of you, without you, O Lord. And may we ask ourselves, O Lord, how can we eat at a time like this? How can we continue to feast, O Lord, when people are perishing without the knowledge of you? And may we find an answer that indeed, O Lord, we will set aside days when we will fight, when we will seek your face, for the sake of the people of Olivet, for the sake of our own families, of our own children, that indeed, O Lord, you may hear from heaven. So help us as your children to go home, O Lord, having our hearts, O Lord, immersed in this way, that indeed we need to set apart time to seek your face. So be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.